This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We've been spending all day counting down our top 10 moments over the last 10 years, celebrating, you guessed it, our 10th birthday. In this hour, we'll finally be revealing what our most memorable milestone is. But first, a roundup.
We kick things off with moment number 10.
Counting down BFM's big freaking moments over the last 10 years. Number 10.
Welcome to the test broadcast of BFM 89.9, Malaysia's first business radio station. You're listening to Tech Talk on BFM.
That was our first ever transmission from back when we were just playing music nonstop and working towards becoming Malaysia's first ever business-only talk radio station. Here's our founder, Malik Ali, telling us how he unfortunately had to miss the first test transmission.
Actually, interestingly, I think I was resting at home in Singapore because I just had a retina detachment. And I couldn't travel and I had to be, you know, at home, you know. So I kind of like took people's word for it that the test transmission is on. And that was like really weird. I was like in Singapore and here was a test transmission in KL, right? I can't remember who was my eyes and ears at the time. But I had someone who said, yeah, it went okay, you know. So I was happy with that.
And of course, we've since gone on to have shows and interviews throughout the day, growing and changing over the last decade and swelling from an early team of just a handful of people to 70 strong today.
I think now we're sort of at least, you know, 68, 70 people strong, a bunch of very committed individuals. And with, with our own reasons for, you know, doing a little bit to move Malaysia forward. So I think, yeah, we've grown a long way. I already envisage us to be, you know, quite a business-focused radio station. I think we've been much more than that. So I think I'm very, very happy about that. And that didn't come from me. That came from the team. Every single BFMer brought their own little interest and their own little enthusiasm for particular projects into it.
We are counting down BFM's top 10 moments over the last 10 years. Stay tuned for the rest of the countdown. This was our first ever test transmission, coming in at number 10.
You're listening to the test broadcast of BFM 89.9, Malaysia's first business radio station. BFM is a new business news radio station that targets business managers and professionals. If you're a business professional and have suggestions on what programs you'd like to hear on BFM, please email us at bfm899@gmail.com. The email again, bfm899@gmail.com. Programs on this test broadcast are pre-recordings. This test broadcast will now loop back to the beginning of the pre-recording. Thank you for joining us on BFM 89.9.
Number 9.
God made Adam first, and the female was only from a fraction of the rib of Adam. To say that we are equal, it's not true. It's not.
But you are a lesser person than your husband?
I do not mind admitting it because God has
really?
Made
but you are a lesser person?
That was from an interview with Dr. Azlina Datuk Jamaluddin from the Obedient Wives Club way back in 2011. When the club first emerged and made headlines a month prior to the interview, it caused a bit of an uproar because of their mission statement, namely teaching women how to be submissive to their husbands in a bid to tackle divorce, domestic violence and other social ills.
So, when we got the club on air as part of a panel interview, things understandably got pretty tense.
Men are naturally polygamous, you tell.
Are they?
Yeah.
Dr. Farooq,
I hear that you're naturally polygamous.
Men are naturally polygamous. It might not be like wives, but they do have girlfriends. I mean, okay, I'm not saying anything, but in some communities, they have a wife, they have mistresses. It's well known to everybody.
So men are really, you know, lustful, uncontrollable.
Truly, are we...
Our two other panellists, Datin Paduka, Marina Mahathir from Sisters in Islam and Dr. Ahmad Farooq Musa from the Islamic Renaissance Front, had their own points to make while BFM hosts Caroline Oh and Ezra Zayat tried really hard to steady the ship.
But a week after that heated conversation, we got Dr. Azlina back on the show, this time alone with Caroline.
It wasn't easy, like most wives, but I realised, and all this while I thought I was a nice lady. Like Marina said, you know, you did everything for your husband, but when your husband says he wanted to take another wife, then I realised, you know, God, I have this jealousy in me. I went for the engagement, can you believe it?
the second wife. I put on the ring on her finger. And what amazed me was, even though my heart was crying, but suddenly when I got there and I saw her and I said, my God, you know, I like this girl. And when I came out, I told my husband, Sayang, you're a very lucky man. Yeah, she's very beautiful. And I was amazed. You know, I didn't shed a tear. I was happy. I believe, you know, that God had a hand in it, or else I wouldn't have managed to.
So actually, when I first heard about it, I think I reacted the way everybody does, or most people did. Shock. I thought it was ridiculous, to be honest. I remember when she was finally in the studio, I was surprised by how calm she was. She was firm in her convictions. And also, because of that, I also wanted to give her space to talk about it herself. Because more than anything, I wanted to understand why a belief or a culture that's so different from my own was valid. And for such a smart and intelligent and composed woman, I thought that I would be able to perhaps bring out of her a reason that many people have not been able to articulate. I actually felt a great deal of respect for her.
This made our list at number 9 because it was an early attempt at facilitating a conversation about topics that we've continued to talk about since, namely gender, religion, and polygamy.
Number 8.
Sorry for the silence, didn't mean to scare you. We just wanted to give you a small preview of what it would sound like if the station were to get into serious trouble one day. And by serious trouble, we mean if we were to get shut down.
So at no point of time should you actually panic unless you tune to 89.9 and you hear silence for nothing but hours on end.
That's David Chu, our technical lead. Over the years, we've noticed that whenever we faced a technical difficulty, some of our listeners would think that we'd been shut down by the powers at large and let us know things had gone weird, usually via Twitter or text. Some of the things that have caught attention in the past, just complete silence or music that didn't seem to fit in with our usual tunes. This is David explaining what goes on behind the scenes when that happens.
It could be a few faults. It could be either the Telekom Malaysia itself that has stopped broadcasting. Either they have got some problem with their transmission towers, or it could be a network fault, or it could be even the fault of the presenter that's on air, because we have on our computer system checkpoints whereby the system pauses for the presenter to talk. And if the presenter forgets about that and leaves the studio, then the whole programming just stops. That's when an emergency player kicks in.
Come here, baby. You drive me up a wall, the way you make good all the nasty tricks you pull. Seems like we're making up more than we're.
Just a note, I've always enjoyed that for the longest time, the first song on our emergency player was Aerosmith's Crazy, which seems like a pretty fitting track to me. Anyways, while we've never really been shut down, we have actually come close. Here's Mira Sivasodi, who handles all things regulatory for the station.
I think it just goes back to the fact that we did push boundaries and we already had 2 warning letters from our regulators at one stage, and we knew third time round it was probably going to be not the best thing for us. So yes, we have come close to getting shut down.
Fortunately, we're still around, and on behalf of everyone, I just want to say we appreciate your concern and keep it coming. Your text might just be the one that gets the station back and running smoothly when something's gone wrong and we maybe haven't noticed.
Number 7.
Business. Finance.
Britney.
And music.
Former Mouse
Brianna flinging Malaysia
magnificently. Because feelings matter.
BFM 89.9.
This is moment number 7 out of our top 10 most defining moments over our past decade of existence. And ironically, we're talking about the decision we made not to define ourselves, choosing not to be Business FM, but BFM instead. This is the man partially responsible for that.
Hello, I'm Zhu Li, and I am the Chief Creative Officer at Merdeka LHS and Dentsu LHS Malaysia.
The creative brief was to do something different with the brand identity of a brand new radio station. So way back in 2008, Malik and Zuhung came up with the notion of letting the BFM acronym stand for, well, almost anything.
Well, it was an interesting exercise. And Malik and I started to, I said, hey, what do you think of this idea? And this was through, I think we had WhatsApp back then, or not. Maybe it was SMS. Oh my God. So we started SMSing each other, and it became like a game, right, where we would have to either start each message or end each message with an acronym, which was BFM. And that got the ball rolling, and the flavor, you know, was really developed from there.
And since then, we've taken that and ran with it. The acronyms tend to reflect the changing times and interests of the people that make up BFM. 10 years ago, this was what was on their minds.
It so happened that around that time in 2008, we were going through a global financial meltdown and the price of oil was spiking and it was affecting everyone. So we thought, well, topical things would be like buggy-free minyak or something, you know. I mean, it's, of course, it's horrible Malay and terrible English. And at that point as well, the US election was concluding. So we had, you know, like Barack foils McCain, the late Senator John McCain. So that's where it started. I mean, I don't have a particular favorite, but I enjoy immensely receiving the name cards from all the BFM people when I meet them. I have a whole stack of cards that go back 10 years now. And it's great to see how everyone, you know, injects their own personality into the brand.
Our very first marketing campaign relied heavily on the acronyms, literally taking it to the streets.
The taxi back thing, I have no credit for, because that's Malik. So he decided that's the best way to get on the road. It was extremely efficient and no one was fully utilizing the taxi backs at that point, nor have they since. It was a perfect space for the campaign to launch. So not just acronyms, but the branding was also prominent, you know, because we need to communicate the frequency 89.9 and also what it stood for ultimately, which was business, finance and more, or and music. So from there, the natural progression, so if you're not a taxi, you're not going to stick one on the boot of your car, you would put a car sticker, and that was the immediate thing that followed.
So if you have a BFM car sticker, or if you've ever spotted one on the road, that's a little bit of history behind it. We're counting down BFM's top 10 moments over the last 10 years. Number 7's been all about our acronyms, since today we're bringing forth memories.
Number 6.
Huh? Nice. You want me to read it out?
Yes, just read it out and I'll record it.
Oh my God. The complainant had indicated that your host had used the term Boleland in referring to the country, which is a term that could be connoted as demeaning and insulting to the country and its governance.
That was BFM presenter Kusu Chuang reading out his own warning from regulatory body MCMC, or rather the warning that was issued to the station because of what he said on air. Here he is explaining what actually happened.
Well, you know, it was back in the day when Noel and I and David Chu were on air together, and it was very different days then because we were very much always very cognizant of the substance as well as the form in which we said the things. I, at the time, tried to do certain things which I thought in my mind would not get me in trouble. Some of them involved a lot of innuendo, a lot of dupontendres. I tried to gussy up some of the words and phrases with big terms and analogies and things like that. So when the word Boleland came up, I thought it was interesting because it was funny, it was descriptive, it was very accurate description of Malaysia. And I thought that by using it in the context of being a little bit sarcastic would not get me in trouble. But unfortunately, it did, right?
So while BFM received a warning letter for that use of language way back in 2010, has it changed how Chuang views his role as a journalist?
If you're a journalist in Malaysia, you always know that it's not a free press. Nothing has changed. And I think only in the last 3 months have things really changed. And in a way, my job hasn't changed. I'm still the same person. I'm still as blunt and as probing as I used to be. It's just that now I have a little bit more leeway to do what I've always done.
It remains to be seen whether the promise of a free press is really going to come to be, but we're hopeful. And in the words of Kusu Chuang, we're just going to keep doing what we've been doing. We've been counting down our top 10 moments from our 10 years of being on the airwaves. Up next, our top 5, and we finally reveal what made our number one spot. Let us know what your top BFM moments have been. Do they match up? Have we missed any? Let us know at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. You are listening to The Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to The Evening Edition. Lynn and Uma with you. We're doing our countdown of the top 10 moments that have defined us as a station over the last 10 years. Earlier, we heard numbers 10 through 6 from our very first test transmission to a moment that landed us in hot water with our regulators. Up next, the top 5.
Counting down BFM's big freaking moments over the last 10 years. Number 5.
Current Affairs. We look at the news behind the news.
PKR has alleged that Dato' Sri Shahrizad Jalil's husband, Dato' Muhammad Saleh Ismail, who runs the National Feedlot Corporation, used the
In December 2011, then PKR Strategy Director Rafizi Ramli and his party accused Datuk Dr. Muhammad Saleh Ismail, the Executive Chairman of the National Feedlot Corporation, of allegedly embezzling funds to pursue unrelated ventures and for personal expenses. VFM's Melissa Idris investigated this on Current Affairs.
One of the key questions on people's minds regarding the sources is the motives of these sources. Why did they go to the opposition? Why not to MACC? Did they have an axe to grind with NFC?
I'm not, you know, I can't read people's mind. I don't know what's the motive, and it's not in my place to figure out what's the motive.
Melissa explains why she was intrigued by this story at the time.
And it was really the height of Cowgate. So you said Cowgate, everyone knew what it was. And I felt there was really no way that BFM could not cover this, especially on a show like Current Affairs. You know, you have to talk about Current Affairs, and how can we not talk about NFC?
This interview eventually caught the attention of our regulators.
The first inkling of trouble was a fax that came in, and it was sent to all at BFM, and it was the most generic fax saying, "Hello, we are from MCMC." BM saying, "Kami dari MCMC ingin berhubung dengan Cik Melissa Idris." And everyone who received that fax thought it was a job offer from MCMC, only to see that it was signed by the Director of Investigations.
So it wasn't to be a job interview, but instead something entirely different.
When I did set up a call with them, I realized, okay, so they wanted more information. So what they said was they wanted a copy of the recording or a podcast link, and they wanted a transcript of the interview. And they also wanted, and this was a bit surprising, an explanation and a rationale for inviting a PKR rep to speak about the NFC issue. And I've always wondered whether it was not so much the NFC issue, but rather the fact that I had spoken to a political representative.
So ultimately, after 5 hours spent at MCMC having to answer questions about journalistic motives, what was the big lesson from all of this?
This was within my first year of working at BFM. It just taught me to grow thicker skin, have a stiffer spine, and to always, always, always keep a paper trail of everything. So it helped me, I think, grow a little bit. It was my very first encounter with the regulators. But also, I kind of got into their psychology a little bit. I thought, okay, now I understand a little bit better where they're coming from, what it is that they're afraid of or worried about. I found ways to say things I wanted to say without actually having to say the words that perhaps might have been triggers. So going forward, I found ways to work around the system. And that was what it taught me.
That was Melissa Idris discussing her experience with our regulators. We're counting down BFM's top 10 moments over the last 10 years. Our coverage of the NFC scandal is coming in at number 5.
Number 4.
Malaysia Airlines MH370 has been missing for 5 days now, and we're still no closer to finding the missing plane.
Our prayers and thoughts reaches out to the families of the passengers and crew, and I give you my assurance that it will not reduce the tempo and that we will not spare any effort to find the missing plane.
On the 8th of March 2014, Malaysians woke up to the news that a Malaysian Airlines plane had gone off the radar.
As the minutes and hours passed without any trace of the aircraft being found, our producers at BFM broke regular programming to convey all the verified information that we could find.
I think we didn't know how to digest the news when it first came out. We just had to make sure that we weren't fear-mongering, that we were reporting the facts as they came in, and for most of the time just to be sensitive to the fact that there are people out there who are missing loved ones and friends and family who were on that plane who were also not sure of what was happening.
2014 was a bad year for aviation. We saw two more plane disasters close to home, Indonesia Air Asia Flight 8501, as well as MH17.
We're carrying a recording of the Prime Minister's press conference held at 4:40 a.m. this morning on MH17.
Earlier this week, the search and recovery team combing the Java Sea retrieved the black boxes of the downed Indonesia Air Asia Flight QZ8501, and downloaded.
Covering these events proved to be a challenge, both because of the wild speculation that surrounded them, but also because the news itself was so heartrending and so difficult.
I remember having to decide on one of the last songs that we played before we went off air for broadcast, and I believe it was the Eagles song, Love Will Keep You Alive. And every time I hear that song, it brings me back to the day where we had to end our breaking news programming and say that this is all the information we have for tonight. Good night, Malaysia. And it felt heartbreaking to end on that note, but it was also uplifting because it felt like love will keep you alive. And I can still hear the music in my head. And every time I hear that song, it brings me back to that day.
That was Melissa Idris talking about the experience of covering MH370.
Number three.
It's an embarrassment. I mean, it's shameful, really, more than anything else. It's not worthy of a great country like Malaysia. This idea, which is beyond, you know, the pale of what a modern democratic state should be discussing, even, just casts this negative light on a country that, as I said earlier on, is a model for Muslims around the world.
That was taken from an interview that BFM did with author, scholar and theologian Reza Azlan back in 2013. That conversation eventually led us to our one and only fine by our regulators. While this is a perennially controversial subject, this interview came also at a particularly contentious time, as BFM's Ezra Zayed explains.
The incident took place, I guess, as a result about the controversy on the use of the word Allah in, I guess, the Malaysian context. And there was debate amongst, you know, public leaders, religious leaders, opinion makers about what the word meant and who could use it.
Of course, all this happened before the 2014 court decision banning the use of the word Allah in Christian Bibles, and discussions around it were very heated. Fallout was immediate. Five BFM presenters were summoned to meet with the regulators for 7 hours of questioning. We were issued a 10,000 ringgit fine, even as the podcast broke 100,000 downloads. This is Ezra looking back at the repercussions of that interview.
It's in these moments that it's not really that Reza Azlan puts Malaysia on the spotlight. It's really just a moment of Malaysia realizing where they are in the context of this global discourse. And I think Malaysia kind of sells itself short a little bit because we have a lot of progressive and smart intellectual Islamic thinkers in the country, and they don't get a lot of airtime, I guess, perhaps. And as a result, we're sort of left interpreting the understandings of this religion through sort of punitive measures, and it's a very puritanical interpretation of the religion. And so a lot of the discussion that we had on that interview talks about sort of the wide array of religious discourse that's happening not just in the region but around the world as well.
We're counting down BFM's top 10 moments over the last 10 years. Number 3 has been about the controversy surrounding Reza Aslan and how it led to our first and so far, fingers crossed, only fine.
Number 2.
Finally, mimpi PAS untuk melaksanakan hudud di Kelantan datang menjelma. Okeylah, korang ni dah bertahun bising pasal hudud. I pun dah malas lah nak kupas. Tapi ada satu I nak tanya. Apa jadi dengan nasib mangsa banjir rakyat Kelantan? 3 bulan dah mereka masih tak ada rumah. Inilah emo politik biasanya. Agama digunakan untuk mengaburi mata rakyat dari isu yang penting. Macam ekonomi dan pentadbiran. Bila dah sampai masanya, tak tahulah kalau hudud tu boleh isi periuk nasi kita.
That was Aisyah Tajuddin, host of BFM Video's Sekilas, standing in for an episode of Kupas, a show usually hosted by Edri Faizal.
Assalamualaikum, tuan-tuan dan puan-puan.
Nama aku Edri Faizal, aku host BFM Kupas. Dalam rancangan ni, aku explore isu-isu semasa dengan cara yang lepak dan mungkin juga satira. Ya, ada yang kata kasar, tapi aku cakap macam biasa je, macam cakap dengan kawan-kawan.
In its run from 2014 to 2015, Kupas discussed topics as varied as the ban on Oktoberfest, the state of schools in East Malaysia, and even our former and current Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. But the video that Aisyah stood in for exploded in a way that no one anticipated.
Tak sangka video yang Aisyah tolong hostkan tu boleh jadi serius macam tu sekali. Selama ni apa aku buat, boleh kata agak daring juga.
Adakah demokrasi di Malaysia hanya satu ilusi?
Hey. Islam sebenar ke Islam tipu?
Tengok, lagi provokatif kadang. Kalau aku yang kena, tak apalah. Aku punya slot. Aku yang tulis kebanyakan skrip. Aku yang prepare semua benda. Aisyah yang gantikan aku tu cuma lakonkan skrip yang orang lain tulis je. Kesian weh.
The station was inundated with complaints and threats, but that paled in comparison to the attacks that were directed at Aisyah. Edri discusses what he thinks were the main reasons behind why things happened the way they did.
One of the biggest reasons is because I'm a male. You have to accept that because I'm a male, and people usually, no matter how angry they are with a male person, it's not the same actually with a female. Aisyah being a female, actually one of the reason, or I might say one of the main reason why the repercussion is so huge. And secondly, even at that moment, the discussion on the hudud itself is very heat up. So you have people very emotional in discussing about this hudud thing, and then when you come around, you throw a joke and something that they cannot decrypt. I always say the joke is like an encrypted message, but if they fail to decrypt it, and the things go haywire.
Ultimately, what happened here changed a number of things at the station. We grew more conscious of what, how, and when we communicated about sensitive matters, and the well-being and safety of BFM staff became increasingly central to the company. We're counting down BFM's top 10 moments over the last 10 years. The fallout surrounding our Kupas video about hudud is at number 2.
It is our 10th birthday and we're celebrating it with a bit of a bang. We've been sharing a roundup of memories, milestones and mistakes that have defined our station in the 10 years we have been on air. And finally, we're at number 1.
Counting down BFM's big freaking moments over the last 10 years. Number 1.
We've been counting down BFM's top 10 moments over the last 10 years. And of course, coming in at number 1 has to be our election coverage for both GE13 and GE14.
I felt really lucky to be at the company and that the company existed for both elections.
So the scary thing about GE13 was that we were never supposed to cover it. We were given, I would say, somewhat strict instructions by our regulators that we shouldn't be talking about politics. And it was a very last-minute decision by our boss, Malik Ali, to say, this could be a watershed moment. Let's do what news organizations and media companies ought to do and cover the news.
And we did our best. We sent people out to the field. We kept running commentary all day. We took calls. It was our first time doing this, but I think we tried to give as comprehensive a coverage as we could.
Tepat pukul 12.50 malam, SPR telah memaklumkan bahawa Barisan Nasional telah diberi mandat oleh rakyat untuk menubuhkan kerajaan.
And we were almost in the same boat with GE14. Our regulators were a little harder this time. Times were looking bad for Barisan Nasional and they wanted to control the flow of information and told us that we really shouldn't be talking politics. It was a friendly warning. But yet again, we decided that it could be a watershed moment in Malaysia. Turned out it was. And we decided we have to cover the elections. What was different this time? I guess the fact that Dr. Mahathir was in the game. It made for one of the most exciting campaign periods that we've had over the last 15 years. The atmosphere at the station was electric. Everyone was running on adrenaline and tons of coffee. And we were just...
Overwhelmed?
I don't know what the word is. Yeah, I think it was overwhelmed because we had no idea what was happening and we had no idea how it would play out.
Saya Tan Sri Muhammad Hashim bin Abdullah, Pengurusi Suruhanjaya Pilihan Raya Malaysia, dengan ini memaklumkan keputusan pilihan raya umum.
And when the results finally came in, I know that for me, it just felt, it took a long time to sink in. I didn't really believe that what was happening could be happening, and I was just so happy that the station was here to kind of help me through it in a way, almost.
I think a lot of people did feel that way, and that was something we were cognizant of throughout. Because of this uncertainty, the one thing that we kept in mind, we had all these meetings happening in between songs as they were playing, right? And Ezra was our executive producer that day, and he kept saying, there is a lot of uncertainty. It is our job to reassure the public and to keep them sane, because God knows everyone is getting 100 WhatsApp messages with all kinds of gossip and rumour.
I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutin and Jabba Sadiq here in the studio.
How can you sound so cheerful at such a late hour?
Oh, it's the caffeine.
And the excitement. I think there is a palpable sense of excitement in the air because the results are quite dramatic. Now,
for me as well, I think there was a lot of fear. There was a lot of fear as to what would happen if they had lost. And the greatest moment was at 4 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. We were starving, and Ezra and I walked out to McDonald's, which is right by where we work, and it was quiet. There was nothing. People were already in bed, and it was just us looking around going, in all the scenarios we had in our head, this was not one of them, and this is great. Everyone's just got the results, and they've gone to bed. And that was a great moment, a peaceful transition of power, or whatever they're calling it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wallahi wa billahi wa tallahi. Saya Mahathir bin Mohamad, setelah dilantik memegang jawatan Perdana Menteri, dengan sesungguhnya bersumpah bahawa saya akan dengan jujur menunaikan kewajipan-kewajipan jawatan itu dengan segala daya upaya saya.
You've been listening to our countdown of our top 10 moments over the last 10 years. Did we miss any? Let us know. Did your favourite moments get included? Let us know what you think. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Happy birthday to us, I guess. You've been listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. So, We know we said that we were just doing 10, but to thank you for sticking around for all 10 years and for all 10 of these moments, here is a bonus. Most of what we've counted down today were on-air moments, but of course, a lot takes place behind the scenes as well.
So, for example, there was a time when we were broadcasting about increasingly sensitive issues, specifically around politics and religion, and getting increasingly inflamed responses. It was during that time that there was a growing realization in the office that our personal safety needed to be considered. And because we're in a pretty open building, that wasn't going to be easy to do. So our founder, Malik Ali, he came up with a plan.
We had really to think about the security of our radio station. Yes, we had a security guard, that's fine, but if you have a group of mobsters outside, what would happen? So that's when the idea of the riot key. This building had shutters that comes down automatically, but to activate that, you needed this key to open this the box that had the switch. So that's when I kind of persuaded the building management. I persuaded them that maybe give me a copy of that for our floor, so that if something like that were to happen to us, we can bring the shutters down to our floor whilst sort of making a quick escape through other exits and holding, anyone who comes up to our radio station at bay by these shutters. And that's when I have a riot key that I put up in the conference room. And every year or so, I'll do a riot drill about what happens when, if we have a riot downstairs or protesters downstairs swarming up to our studios, what do we do from there? So I think that was the idea of the riot key and the riot drill.
There's a riot downstairs! There's a riot downstairs! Oh, they're coming up the stairs! What do we do now? First thing, what do we do? Get the key. What we need to do is shut the lift exit, right? Lift exit gets shut down. There is a shutter that goes down. So someone runs and go gets the keys. Go! Oh, the key's over here. Okay, now all of you have to follow me out. Come on, follow me out. Okay. One person gets the keys, but... Right? So, half of you break down those doors and go out that way.
Our boss, ladies and gentlemen, Malik Ali, with the best of intentions always for both the safety of the station and its staff at heart. But in retrospect, thank goodness we never needed that riot key.
And may we never, ever need that riot key.
Also, may he never get the riot key to this particular building.
We hope you've enjoyed those top 10 moments of BFM's being. Tell us what your favorite BFM moments were. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us on 018-789-8899. We've got the news coming your way, so don't go anywhere. This is the Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.